806 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig, glad to have you along. Our phone number is 343-0106, 343-0106. Maybe put that in your contacts list, FM Talk 106.5, and just put 343-0106. You may want to call this morning or sometime during the week that you have the number ready. And you hear, Kane, a possible accident. They're going to, Dalton. You hear that? Possible accident?
I mean, you never for sure know if it's an accident until you actually arrive on scene, right? So
you also don't know if it's if you've been hit till you go walk around your entire car. Let me just for a second rant and use the bully pulpit of the show. Somebody hit my wife's vehicle, the family truckster, the SUV. Hit that, and we know where. But we don't know at what time. It wasn't witnessed. And, like, crunched one of the back quarter panels on this thing.
Yeah.
And then took off. And so we have some of their paint. If the paint only had DNA, if we only had the genomic project here on the paint, we have some of their paint on the vehicle. But who want no note, no anything?
Crush
the vehicle and then move on.
That's apparently one of the thousands of hit and runs that we have here in Mobile every week. you never know. I mean, you get out and you see the damage, at least initially, but you don't know what else it messes up in the car or truck. And you don't find out for sometimes weeks, sometimes months, when something else starts clicking that seems to be from the furthest point from where you actually got hit at first. But that's too bad, man. I hate that.
Who does that? You hit a vehicle. What scares me is there's one side that's the person that hits it and doesn't want to live up to the responsibility, have their insurance or pay for it or whatever. Or the person that scares me is the person that hit her vehicle and didn't know they did it.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah, then you're in trouble. Or at least other people might be in trouble with that person driving around. To not know when you've hit another vehicle. All I can say is I hope you don't come to the parking lot today and see the new paint scheme that I have on my front left part of my car here, because I hit somebody in the parking lot this weekend and just not sure what happened. So
it's I don't know why, like, the person that hits them and doesn't know it it bothers me more. Tell the story about my late grandmother and going, she had a Mark V. I don't know if you ever saw a Mark V, Dalton. That may be too long ago, but it was a gigantic land barge, which, by the way, it was a two-door. Each door was like 8 feet long. When I was a kid, it was like opening the gates of a castle to open and close the doors. But we would, my cousins and I were walking in front of the vehicle, and like, we're picking hair out of the front of the vehicle, deer hair, and say, hey, Grandma, you, and they built the vehicle. And then they could hit a deer and keep on trucking. Grandma,
right.
you hit a deer? No. You sure? You sure, Grandma, you didn't hit a deer? Lately?
Oh,
no,
man.
I didn't hit any deer. And I said, well, Grandma, there's a deer here in the front of the Mark V.
Yeah.
She had no idea she did it.
Thankfully, it was deer hair and not the hair of
not people hair.
Human.
Right. That's true.
Time to pull Grandma off the road when that's the case. Yeah, we had a similar, maybe not similar situation, but, oh, man, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, my grandma was in town, and we were all heading to church on Sunday morning, and we're talking Grove Hill up in Clark County, so not much traffic Sunday morning, and we're driving down the highway and come up to a stop sign, and we're following my dad in his big truck, and he had a Harley Davidson hitch cover, and my grandma hit the back of his truck hard enough that she, from then on, had the Harley Davidson tattoo on the front of her Honda from then on out. So you know which car was my grandma's, because she had a Harley Davidson tattoo on the front of the vehicle. And it wasn't long after that we said, yeah, maybe time to take your keys away here for a little bit.
Oh, well. All right. A couple things going on this hour. So, first of all, let's look at the online opinion poll question brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, which, by the way, that's my buddy Trey and his crew with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. We may have them working at our house this week. It's pretty easy. The process is you go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They'll make an appointment with you, specific day, specific time, and they'll show up to get rid of the junk. It's just that easy. It could be junk at your house. It could be a storage unit. It could be an office, house you're getting ready to sell, whatever it is, you got junk, you need it gone, you don't know how to move it, you don't know where to take it, Trey does. So contact him. He's been doing this 12 years along the Gulf Coast in Mobile and Baldwin County. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, so opinion poll question: if available, would you get a vaccination for COVID-19? So we have so much right now in the discussion, and pretty amazing, actually, the pacing of this Operation Warp Speed. But 77% of y'all right now on the poll question are saying, no, you would not get the vaccine. So I wonder if we, you know, they're now starting this process, the final testing of the vaccine, and if they get this vaccine rolled out and then nobody shows up to take the vaccine, or very few, was this all for naught? Or would you, Skip says here on the text line, no vaccine until it's proven there are no complications or side effects. Just afraid it will be mandatory. I don't know that we'll be pushing a mandatory vaccine, although, Skip, I mean, you could argue there's been maybe some beachhead set here with the mask idea. But if we don't take the vaccine, then, you know, if we're all waiting, and I understand what Skip's saying. I mean, we'd all like to wait to see how other people fared with the vaccine, I think. But then if we all do that, then nobody takes it. And like Doug says, no vaccine for me. Practicing medicine comparable to practicing plays for football or other task. You practice, but then it didn't work when you call the play. I'll make the argument with the common cold, no vaccine for it, which is a member of the COVID family.
Yeah, and, you know, I hear what I think what it was Doug that was saying, or Skip. Doug that was talking about the side effects, or, yeah, Skip. You know, what side effects would be too much for you? Because we've all, or at least a lot of us, have had the flu vaccine, and they always say, you know, you might feel soreness where you got the shot, you might be a little bit sick. I've never had those side effects after getting a flu shot, but in some of these early stages of testing these new COVID vaccines, they do say, you know, you might have a day where you feel pretty sick, nauseous, and have some of those similar symptoms as the people that do actually catch the virus. I'm not sure that, at least in these first few stages of the vaccine, that they'll be able to put those out completely side effect free. But if your options there are to get the vaccine and experience, you know, maybe a day of being kind of sick compared to actually catching the virus and spending, well, who knows how bad it could actually get from that point, I think I would be willing to put up with that, maybe a day of side effects. And you're right, you know, if not enough people get this vaccine and it does work, then we're kind of stuck in the exact same situation that we're in now. Although the more millions of people that do get the vaccine, at least you get a little bit closer to that herd immunity. But I answered on the poll, and I'll answer here on the air. I would totally get the vaccine, no questions asked.
Okay, let me make it a little more. Would you vaccinate your daughter?
That gets tougher, but I would say, and that's difficult, because what we've seen with children, now there is the outlier story where you have, several children that have died from the virus, and I think there was a 9-year-old either here in Alabama or another state that actually passed away, and the mother said no underlying conditions, and that's got to be just heartbreaking. But we've seen so many stats where they say it's a lot tougher for the kids to catch it. I think I would vaccinate my daughter if it came down to it. So
the first round of vaccines comes out, and you would do that.
Okay, okay. I am changing my mind. I would get the vaccine. I would be fine with my wife getting the vaccine. If we both had it, maybe I would wait a little bit for my daughter. That gets really tough when you have to make that decision.
Well, that's why I'm asking it. You know, it's easy to say for you, right? Mm-hmm. Healthy young man, you know, you're like, I'll get it, I'll take it. But then when you start talking about when you're a family man, you start going, well, you know, I don't know. What about y'all? I mean, would you get the vaccine? Would you get the vaccine for your family as well? Is it going to be one of these things, like, you know, you look at the flu vaccine, a lot of people get them who are in a situation where they can't really afford to get the flu through their age or other health conditions. They get it as a precaution, and people that are don't have those underlying conditions will say, well, the heck with it, I'll roll the dice. Is that what we're going to be looking at with COVID vaccine?
And, you know, I'm interested, too, in the reasons that people would not want to get a vaccine. I think a lot of them say, they're worried about the long-term effects, because reading up on this, I think it takes normally 5, 7, 10 years to develop a vaccine out of thin air for something like this, and they're trying to get this. I mean, if they have this rolled out by December, which seems like a pipe dream, then we're talking about less than a year that they developed and had this ready. There's still no telling about the long-term side effects 5, 10 years down the line. What what these vaccines could actually do for you. But I'm just worried, you know, if this vaccine does work and people are so scared to go out and get it, what kind of situation are we keeping ourselves in here in America as we try to get back on track and back to where we were a year ago? But I also know that a lot of people, maybe not a lot of people, but the ones that are worried about being chipped by the government, they worry that the government is going to keep track of all your movements with the vaccine. I don't understand that argument
at all.
They're
already tracking y'all. Don't worry about that. You're already being tracked.
Exactly.
And Fred on the text line saying, no vaccine, no stimulus check. We'll talk about that when we get back, as they're working in Washington now. CARES Act 2. The Empire Strikes Back is coming our way, including those stimulus dollars for Americans. We'll give you some details on what may be rolling out of Washington today when we come back. More of Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Hey, thank you, Kane. 822 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Actually, more showers than I was going to say, like yesterday morning, but more showers than yesterday morning making their way right now. South Mobile County, Dauphin Island, Codan, Valla Battery getting them a little bit. Fort Morgan area getting it as well. Over towards, looks like Weeks Bay, mouth of Weeks Bay. Showers should continue throughout the day, says Dr. Bill. We'll get another update from him coming up at around 8:35. All right, our phone number, 343-0106, 343-0106. And first up, Tracy in Mobile to talk vaccines. Hey, Tracy.
Well, good morning, Sean and Dalton.
Morning.
I do have something to say about the vaccine, or the COVID vaccine. I'm very familiar and aware and have had lots of experience with vaccines, having lived overseas, had to get them all. And as a responsible mother, I started taking my child in to get his vaccines at 9 weeks old, and he ended up on a respirator due to the polio drop. So what I'm saying is parents need to do their research. They're pushing this vaccine through so quickly that, and we're not being told all the information, you know, as far as, you know, how these studies are going on the vaccine, you know, this vaccine. I mean, I've already read one study where a young man decided to be a guinea pig for this vaccine, and he got terribly ill, and he thought he was going to die. So I would recommend that parents for their children do very much research before, because children get a plethora of vaccines at such a young age, and I don't think that's really healthy. I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but I think that education is the key.
Tracy, I appreciate your call, and your child is okay now, right?
No, my son passed away after he turned 10. He spent 10 years on life support.
Oh, my goodness.
From the vaccine?
Polio. It was a polio drop. And then after that, when this happened, it happened in 89. And then it was a few years after that, they came out with a polio vaccine that didn't contain the live virus. So, you know, even
Tracy,
still,
I'm so
they're
sorry.
Still giving the drops, which they're not supposed to be doing.
I am so sorry, Tracy, for your loss. I appreciate the information. On the and that's one thing that's being discussed here on the text line too, about, and I don't, you know, I got to tell you right now, I don't know, right? I don't know, because Dan says my wife gives flu shots for a living, and they just use a live vaccine and just give you a small dose of the flu. Now it's a dead virus, so you cannot catch the flu from the vaccine. So that would depend on the COVID-19. They're injecting a live virus or a dead virus.
Yeah, and I don't really, I don't know a whole lot about the vaccine world, and I guess I've probably, like so many others, kind of taken for granted what our scientists and health officials have been able to do. I mean, we've made so many great strides over the last century. It's actually pretty miraculous that this is the first pandemic we've had in over 100 years, and that, of course, it's taking its toll not only on America, but the entire world right now. But that's another question that was actually brought up by Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth. And we have a text here from someone who says, vaccine will most likely be mandatory for kids to return to school or daycare next spring. I'm not sure how I feel about that. Actually, I'm pretty sure how I feel about that.
Has that come out in an official document yet? Or?
No, this was just a text from Wayne where he said it will most likely be mandatory. But I could see Wayne's point of view there. And the way that we've gone this pandemic where, you know, I mean, I don't need to go through it all again, but initially we didn't need masks, then we did need masks, and then it was a hard virus to catch, and then actually it might be airborne. I mean, we've seen everything over the last few months, but then you have the mask ordinances, and then Will Ainsworth, Lieutenant Governor, saying that he was worried that with a mask ordinance, that once a vaccine becomes available, will they also make that mandatory? And I think that'll be a big problem for the people around our state, and in particular our audience, who right now most are saying that they would not get a vaccine if it was available.
So that, I mean, that's where I'm going with that. That all this money and all this energy and all this brain power that's been put into this Warp Speed project to come up with a vaccine, will it at the end of that be? I'm not going to say for not, because there will be people get it, and any number of people that have, you know, some immunity to it, you slow the spread down. I've said that right now, that as we're getting these big spikes in cases, I wonder if this is not going to hamstring the virus. In other words, if you had a situation where, okay, let's say back in March, one person with coronavirus goes into a room of 20 people, for example. They can, and the way we understand it right now, they could infect all 20 people because of, you know, how infectious this this virus is. All right, now we go flash forward to August. And in August, you have, out of those 20 people, you have five of them that have had, you know, and by the way, when those 20 people got infected by that person, they went on to infect, you know, 20 people and 20 people, 20 people down the road. Now, all of a sudden, you have people that have had COVID-19, have recovered from it, and now five of the people in that room don't get it because they've already had it. They have the antibodies to it. So, therefore, they don't go spread to five more people, right? And then 20 people and 20 people down the road. So I wonder, as the number of cases naturally, not through a vaccine, but people get antibodies from being sick with COVID, and obviously you have to slow that process down so you don't overwhelm hospitals. But as that goes on, naturally, will that slow this spread down? Will it hamstring the virus because it won't have the number of new bodies to infect?
I would hope so. And but so much of this depends on how long those antibodies last. I mean, they ask you to get a flu vaccine every year, and even then, I can't remember the exact number. But even in the short term,
it could have let's say it only lasts 3 months. You know, we had that story a couple weeks ago talking about it only could last 3 months. So if it lasts 3 months, though, in that 3 months, you really slow this process. You really slow the spread down, because it's bouncing to people who can't get it again, and therefore aren't, with the information we have right now, can't pass it along again. So that kind of explosive logarithmic spread of it is going to be cut down during that period of time. Yes, what happens after 3 months or a year, I don't know. I'm saying in the short term.
Yeah, but then you'd be asked whether you're going to get a vaccine next winter before this comes back. And but I do think a good thing that we're seeing out there, now that we're months into fighting this virus, that regardless of where we stand on vaccines, at least the treatments of those that have been infected with COVID-19, it seems that is getting along rather quickly. I know remdesivir seems to be a medicine that many are turning to when they get pretty sick from this, and they're getting that remdesivir in the hospitals. And then just knowing more about this virus, it seems that they've been able to drop the fatality rate. But I say that as Alabama reaches new highs in daily deaths. So it's certainly still taking its toll. But if we were hit with these kind of numbers 3 months ago in Alabama, who knows how many people would be dying daily.
That's for sure. We'll come back. We'll talk more about that remdesivir and also what they're doing on the monetary and liability vaccines in Washington.
At 836 FM Talk 106.5, you're listening to Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, Dalton. How are you?
Hey, doing great here, although looking like rain outside. And I want to remind people, of course, not that they need the reminder, but when we have rain, we have accidents. And if you have an accident, hit up the body shop at McConnell Automotive. Tell us about that, Louie.
That's right. Gary and the girls and the guys back there will take care of all your insurance needs. Just give, you can call them direct at 251-471-1777. They'll call a record for you, get your insurance handled and all that. We've got a great body shop back there. Those guys, I mean, they will do a jam-up first-class job. Don't forget last week for the employee pricing on the SUVs. I say it's last week. Who knows what's going to happen come next week. But need to come on in and check these things out. We got a truckload of Enclave Zens I see coming in right now. Got a few trucks in last week. Got just a very few of the 2020 Yukons, and that's employee pricing. Now the 2021s are here too, and they are the new body style, and they are something to look at.
Man.
Come by and check those out, or check them out online at McConnellAutomotive.com.
Hey, we appreciate it, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online at McConnellAutomotive.com.
Yeah, y'all talking about those showers, checking radar right now. Some pretty heavy rain already hitting South Mobile County. Light rain for the rest of Mobile County is on the way. Baldwin County starting to get it down around Fort Morgan, then back over towards Orange Beach and Gulf Shores. Should be, looking back at the radar, there's a whole bunch of it coming up out of the Gulf. Should be with us for next couple hours or so, but we'll get more updates from staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams. At least it keeps the temperature down, Dalton.
Yeah,
least, you know, that's
I don't
that's
mind this time of year seeing the highs in the mid-80s. I'll take that every time. And actually, a strange noise or strange non-noise in my house some this weekend, the air conditioner actually stopped running for like 30 minutes. So
wow.
pretty fantastic that that happened. I could hear the cha-ching sign as I was stacking that money as the AC turned off for maybe the first 30 seconds of the last 2 months. So that was great
to see. I'm with you. I'm always excited when that shuts off. All right. Let's go to the phones. 343-0106. And down in that rain, James is checking in from Grand Bay. Hey, James.
How you doing, sir?
Good. You want to talk vaccines?
My argument is that I've dealt with teenagers and I've dealt with some adults that if you so much as look at them and say, you've got to do this, you're looking for a fight. They'll mm-hmm. turn it down, even though they know it's the best thing for them. They're being told they have to do it. They're not going to do it.
So, I mean, what we're seeing that right now, James, our poll question, I mean, we're seeing the majority of folks saying they would not take the vaccine.
And I can't really say I blame them. With my health issues that I've had in the past, I'm worried about what the vaccine is going to do to me further down the road.
Mm. Yeah, that's a huge question. I mean, but for me personally, I've seen, you know, how many people have been affected by this virus and without a vaccine available. I'm just, what's the trade-off there, right? If they did have a vaccine and it was completely effective, but they weren't sure that it was completely effective, I mean, I guess it would be like flipping a coin, but maybe easier for those that are younger and don't have underlying conditions to flip that coin, because there'd be less risk involved even if they did get sick from the vaccine. But it's just, it would be tough for me to stomach all that we've been through as a nation, you know, over these last few months, and all the small businesses that are shutting down, the schools that are not, in some cases, opening, like Mobile County schools this fall. If that vaccine did become available, just because people didn't like being told what to do, and I totally understand that, but if we had the ability to slow this thing down or even stop it in its tracks and didn't do it because we didn't like being told what to do, that would be tough. Tough to stomach.
Right. Phone lines open at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, the other part of this is the vaccine for the economy. I think there's, I guess, two parts of the vaccine for the economy, but the most important, I think, for small business, which, by the way, small businesses and medium-sized and larger, but let's talk about small businesses that, you know, may not have the deep pockets to deal with the cleanings, you know, they're dealing with cleaning places and sanitizing and doing all these extra things, even though they don't have the additional income coming in. You look at what's happening in Congress here, and one of the keys that I, you know, was discussed a lot last week, but it worries me that it hadn't been discussed a bunch over the weekend, was the liability protection for small business here, and or for all businesses out there. As long as, and I know we talked about it with Robert Kennedy Jr. on Thursday, yes, I believe within reason. I mean, if a business is being absolutely negligent or flagrant or something like that, then we have one issue. But the fact that, you know, a lawsuit will come, you know, and I'm sure we're all just waiting for the first lawsuit to come where somebody says they got coronavirus in this business, you look at that and say, well, chances are you could have gotten it walking in there when you left there. I think they win in court, but the problem is the fear for a small business is the time, you know, and the money to fight that. So one of the things they're talking about is this liability protection from lawsuits around coronavirus, and I guess they're now working on it more in Washington, although I think they maybe will do an addendum if they get back in session in Montgomery. Also, the other part of it is that the $1,200 is coming back, and that has been a discussion here. You know, when I brought it up, I think by and large, most people think that it's a good thing that everybody should get the check again. I just asked the question, if you're working and your paycheck has not changed, should you be getting another $1,200, you know, from what is CARES Act Part 2? I mean, it's, Dalton, have we seen anybody who said, you know, different? Or it seems like most people have said, yeah, give me my $1,200.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of people are saying, listen, I've been paying taxes, paying big taxes for years and years and years, and have never truly reached my hand out and asked for anything. And if we're going through it right now, then heck yeah, I'll take that stimulus payment if you're going to send it out there. But I've kind of, you know, got that issue myself. I've been working this entire time, and thank God that I'm in a situation where that's been the case. But I got that first round of stimulus payments, and it definitely helped. You know, we're a young family, have a baby daughter, so of course, we've got lots of expenses that are due. It helped, but at what cost? What cost for the nation as we look towards the future, and we're already tens of trillion dollars in debt, and we just keep spending and spending and spending? I know it's completely necessary in so many cases, but if people have been able to keep working and keep that steady paycheck, do they deserve that stimulus money just like those that haven't been working and need it probably more? It's tough.
Well,
tough
but then
ask.
Those people have the – well, those people, you know, if they haven't been working, they get the $600 $600 federal weekly boost to whatever their unemployment benefits are by state. And you heard Nancy Pelosi over the weekend when just the suggestion came up that the federal unemployment match or addendum would be 70% of the person's take home before, you know, before they were unemployed. Now that doesn't take away the state unemployment money, so in that case, and the problem is, and I know they'll say, well, we don't have time to do this, you know, with a scalpel. We have to do it with a blunt instrument. But it is true that $600 means a lot more in Mobile than it does in New York City or something like that for unemployment. And then you turn around and say, okay, well, what we're going to try to do here is make it 70%. So the federal money would be 70% of what the, you know, what the person made. And so you got to figure the state's going to be the other 30%. And if the person's made whole, why is it such a fight going on right now? You know, as you look at getting people back to work, I mean, if people are paid not to work, well, a lot of people will choose not to work.
Yeah, yeah. And it's been interesting watching these negotiations out of Washington. And, of course, we get second and third-hand information that kind of trickles down from there. But it seems to me that both sides, when they go into a negotiation like this, the thing that they talk about earliest and loudest is the thing they're usually most willing to give up during these first few rounds of the negotiations. I mean, we heard the president talking about the payroll tax cut, which I think would really help a lot of these businesses out. And I need to check the latest stories, but at the end of last week, it looked like payroll tax cut might not make it into this new stimulus bill. On the other hand, it seems like the Democrats, you know, they want to keep that unemployment pay up. It looks like they might kind of meet in the middle and maybe lower it down like you were talking about. But one big thing that the Democrats want to keep included in this bill are the evictions and keeping a lot of the people that don't have the money to pay their rent or their mortgage from being evicted. And I wonder if that will stick in and stay in this next stimulus bill. But usually the things that both sides shout about loudest and earliest don't make it into the final actual bill, because those are the things they're actually willing to get up to get to where they need to go.
All right, coming right back, we'll grab some phone calls at 343-0106, 343-0106.
Yeah, and Sean, really quickly before we go to the break, Chris has been holding on. We'll take one more call, and then we'll
okay.
go. Chris in Orange Beach, you're on with us.
Oh, I know, Dalton. You put me up against the break, so I talk fast. Okay.
No, we've got time. What you got?
Let's suppose you've got a neighbor, two neighbors that live in the cul-de-sac in your neighborhood, and they're brothers, and they constantly fight with their wives. Cops get called ever so often. One's always turning the other one into DHR about their kids. They're constantly fighting. The whole community talks about how these two guys hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
Are these the guys you're going to go get marital advice from? let's suppose that these same two guys get involved in the Homeowners Association, and all they want to do is undercut the other brother. They don't really care about the community. All they want to do is argue and fight with each other and bring everybody into their fight, and every time that they bring up a subject or they talk about a subject, it's really just to get it to other brother. Let's suppose that they take it a little farther and you do a little independent research and you find out that everything they say is kind of untrue, that you can't really rely on either one of them because they don't tell the truth. They're constantly fighting with their wives. They're constantly investigating each other. They're constantly going back and forth. Let's suppose one of them is a pharmaceutical company and the other one is a wealthy guy. He buys enough vaccines to save everybody in the country. Are these the guys you're going to go get your vaccine from?
Good questions, Chris. I don't know. I do know that at least one side in this fight.
I like the analogy.
I love the analogy and pictured it clearly in my brain. But, you know, for the Republicans, this vaccine could be election saving. So, and I know the Democrats, they'd probably like the economy to not recover until after November, but I would think that both sides actually want a vaccine that works. Wouldn't you say so, Sean?
Yes, with the information I have now, yes. Be right back. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Monday, 8:53. Dalton, did you see on the text line, Keith saying, I'm collecting Pennsylvania unemployment, which is $700 per week, and the federal edition is $600, is $1,300 per week that I'm drawing.
Wow. That's big.
$1,300 a week in unemployment.
That's exactly what, maybe not in Keith's case. I'm not sure how old Keith is or if he's still working or if he'd retired or not. But that's, I mean, I've heard from business owner after business owner, especially down here in the South, where the federal money is usually, you know, paying out, like you mentioned, Sean, a lot more than what might be necessary in some of these.
Well, cost of living is different, right? We agree, cost of living is different in different parts of the country.
But it is real out there. It is difficult to bring employees back. These businesses have been through the ringer and have been shut down for anywhere from a month to 3 to 4 months. And then once it's actually time to get going again, and it's tough to get employees because they're drawing that unemployment, that's something that's real and something they're fighting about in Washington right now. So I saw that they might drop it down to $200 per week, or what you were saying, Sean, 70%.
70%.
But when you get into the math, I mean, it took them long enough to send out the first stimulus payments. If they've got to run the numbers, and how many checks did they send to people that are not living? It was billions and billions
of
dollars.
Right, and you're right. Listen, there's an argument to be made, and that's what Nancy Pelosi was saying over the weekend. Well, there's no time.
Mm-hmm.
There's no time to. But yeah, The formula, if it's 70%, and she said, well, not everybody's on salary, they're on different. I get that. But, I mean, just if you use the there's no time excuse always, maybe going forward, we're going to just continue. I'm concerned. I want people that are in a pickle here through no fault of their own, right, that don't have a job through no fault of their own, to be protected. At the same time, you're setting up a scenario where you have a disincentive to go back to work. That mm-hmm. is just real. That's just a real economic question. You'll say, oh, well, people want to go back to work. Yeah, but at a certain number, people will say, eh, I'll wait.
Yeah,
you know, I'll wait.
And another question with these upcoming stimulus payments, my wife and I were wondering, because the last stimulus check for us anyway was based off of our 2018 tax returns. We had not yet filed the previous year, or maybe it was 2019, whichever one was two filings ago. And
yeah,
since then, that you know, they had the new deadline that was pushed back, and we were wondering whether the new stimulus payment would come off the most recent tax returns or the ones that they were working off previously, because we had a child born that year, so that would be an extra $500 for us. I would assume, and I don't know if you've read it in any stories yet, Sean, I would assume they're going to use the same tax returns as they did that first stimulus payment and not
update
it.
Yeah, they would have to. I mean, there's people, because they're, like, for example, we are late filers because of a thing we have to deal with out of Mississippi in our house. And so we've always been, you know, October filers. So we won't have, you know, there's we won't file until October if they move that date on us. So, yeah, you're going to have to work off of 18, I guess.
Yeah. It might be easier for them if they already have those numbers. So maybe get the checks out a little more quick this year or this time.
All right. And give me the – I'm watching some video out of Memphis.
Uh-huh.
As a woman has just thrown a chair across a desk here or a checkout. It's at Putt-Putt in Memphis?
Yeah, so this story caught my eye yesterday. The Putt-Putt Fun Center in Memphis. And, of course, Memphis, just like other parts of America, dealing with the coronavirus. So they had, you know, I guess they've been open. They had your standard Sunday Memphis Putt-Putt crowd out there. And then all of a sudden, according to the Putt-Putt Fun Center, parents, I don't know if this was a TikTok thing or a Snapchat thing, but they just started dropping off their kids in droves, and they said that all of a sudden there was a crowd of 300 to 400 children and teenagers that had invaded the Putt-Putt Fun Center. Obviously, that made
it's
it
not
tough.
Fun then.
No, it made it tough to social distance, so the Putt-Putt Fun Center shut things down and told everyone they would not be getting a refund. I don't know if that was all the people that showed up or not, but then after that, of course, the children began to riot, and they were in the Putt-Putt Fun Center, I guess, home office there where you get your balls and you get the small putters, and throwing things through the glasses, and just turned into absolute madness at the Putt-Putt Fun Center in Memphis yesterday.
Even Putt-Putt having issues in today's brave new world. Wow. All right. Be back in 3 for Midday Mobile by Gallagher Show on the way next.